Hello and welcome back to half of the Cover Zero podcast and half of that other podcast.
It's actually one third of the podcast because technically we've got Jer and technically we've got Barry.
Well, we're also half. We're half of Cover Zero.
So we're 50% and one third. So that
Jack's just a bit of a blow in though. So I'm sure there's some weird number in it.
Where is Jack tonight, actually, I wonder?
Off sampling the local delicacies of Boston last time I heard. So you can use your imagination to people listening what that may mean, but he's off enjoying the city by the sounds of it. So, and he's not here with us tonight, unfortunately.
Sean's flight was delayed, so I don't know whether that was a coincidence or not for him to get out of his duties being on this podcast or not, but this is the second crossover episode I think we've ever had.
I would say second and a half, because I did have Kieran. He was flying solo at the time, but he was representing the Cover Zero banner.
After Jack.
Actually, he was representing the NFL Talk banner.
Fuck those guys.
I'm pretty sure you hadn't renamed the podcast, so it was...
rebranded, Gary.
Yes. Great marketing there. So you were on one of the early episodes of Penny Pigskin, because you were over at the Jacksonville Jags UK camp. So, yeah, you are right. This is our second crossover, because the first one was at the Pro Bowl last year. And we had a fucking great time. Even though we got pissed on, it was absolutely lashing there in Orlando, which seems to do, like, at midday, like, clockwork every day.
Almost. I think this week they guaranteed again that this year's one is going to be in Orlando as well, which I don't think, maybe we're just kind of looking down on it because it was fairly shite weather when we were there, but you feel like it's just a waste in Orlando. There's not much to it. I know it has the whole Disney World, all that kind of thing, that people might go there on a holiday, but for me it certainly did. I don't know for you if it felt like it was a good location for it.
I always had it on my bucket list with my dad. We said we always wanted to go to Pro Bowl, and it became more accessible when it was in Florida.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the case for, because a lot of people that just, you know, elderly people just live down there in the wintertime, especially if you're from the Northeast. You guys haven't had the pleasure of being here in January or February. It's fucking freezing. So a lot of people just go down there for like 2 or 3 months. So you do seem to have a bit more of an influx of just people in general down in Florida. Whereas if you ever look at the old school videos from when it was in Honolulu, like the stands were like very, very sparsely filled, you know. So it seems to be more people are going to the games because you have all the attractions around. You have all the theme parks. I mean, when you go to Honolulu, you have the beaches, but apart from the game,
also a fortune to get there and to stay there as well.
And like the flight as well. Like if you fly from the west coast to Honolulu, it's like a 6 or 7 hour flight.
Yeah.
If you're doing that from the west coast, you're talking 12 hours. It's a long old trip.
Well, we're going to get into what experiences we've had since we've been in Boston. Kieran and Jack have been here a fair bit longer than I have. I've been here the past couple of weeks, and Sean arriving. So we'll talk about Patriots training camp, which we went to about a week and a half ago now.
For our sins. None of us being fucking Patriot fans.
That is just surrounded by massos, as you like to say. We'll get into the best football event I've ever been to, the arena football game. Fucking electric stuff. Preseason starts tonight as we're recording this. I don't know exactly when this will go out.
Yeah, in 10. We're recording at 7:20 on a Thursday, so 10 minutes.
So Gary's going to make sure we wrap this up in less than 10 minutes so that you can watch the Giants game.
I'm just waiting for Daniel Jones to throw for about 300 yards now against that Jets defense. So, Pats camp. What did you think? Now, I've been a few times, so have you? Is that your first training camp, full stop, or have you been to a training camp before?
First NFL training camp.
Yeah.
So, like, you kind of knew what to expect just from what I said, but, like, you know, bar what I told you about it, what were you expecting when you showed up to Foxborough or on the way down there, apart from getting up at the fucking crack of dawn on Saturday, which is horrendous?
I kind of expected pretty much what we ended up watching. Like, I did think that it might be like almost a bit more like flashy. Obviously there was a huge amount of events like around, you know, behind the stands, you know, all like stuff for the kids to try the different skills and stuff, football and all that kind of stuff. I expected a bit more kind of the, you know, kind of like the bullshit you see at some of the games, like the event kind of stuff. But it was nice just to be able to sit there and actually watch normal training. Like, they didn't play it up. It was just... I thought it would be a bit played up for, like, the public trainings, but...
Well, I almost thought I would go the opposite way, and that would be my only complaint about it, is that they did... When your one, when that woman got on the mic and she started doing all these... Like, I'm here to watch men go up against each other. Sorry, that sounded like I was discriminating against the woman being on the mic. I'm here to watch grown men strap on the pads and hit each other. I wasn't here to go and do the throw balls into tires, or I know they kind of have to make it that kind of event, but
you want pads colliding.
I thought it was quite flashy and just, like, I'd like it to be a bit more just toned down. And maybe it was because it was the Patriots and they are the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
They like to make these whole events. Maybe if you go to kind of smaller market teams, it would be more kind of low-key stuff.
I think that was
training
toned down, though. Like, considering, like, you are right. Like, they did do all that stuff. That kind of event stuff was there. But considering what they could have made it, it was toned down. For America, like, I was thinking that they were going to have, like 100 cheerleaders and a bunch of random singers and all this kind of like random stuff other than football.
Yeah.
But they just like basically like handed to the families and the kids and stuff for the first like half an hour.
Yeah.
It's and just, then got and it's like, football, which was
it's early. It's fucking 8 a.m. Yeah. They gotta try and get people awake and somewhat enthusiastic at that hour, you know. So when the players do come out, it's not like they're walking into a graveyard. There's actually a bit of excitement and energy. And I'll tell you one thing, I actually went to Pat's training camp when I was on a J1 a long time ago, 2007. We were here for a week or two in Boston, and we went to the, it was the year, it was actually the season the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl, so Randy was there, and it was the same way. It was almost identical to what you saw, and that tells a lot about how the Patriots do things. It's just they're so consistent, you know. I feel like compared to some other training camps, it is a little bit like understated, in that it's just like a few old bleachers, a couple of fields, just a lad, you know, a load of lads putting in a bit of work, a few stalls outside. But to me, I don't know, I'm kind of agreeing with Kieran in that it could be way fresher, given that A, they're the champs, and B, they're just such a successful team.
Yeah.
They could have all this shit going on. But at the end of the day, it's just a few football fields and a lot of people watching.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that much else, really.
Yeah.
Apart from the little bit of show that goes on beforehand. But.
Yeah. Well, I said to you after, the main thing that I enjoy seeing is just these players that you see on TV from back home in Ireland every Sunday.
Yeah.
Just seeing them in person and, you know, seeing, like with a lot of players, holy shit, they're huge. Or like, it's just interesting to see in person. And a player that kind of not only us, but everyone around us seemed to be talking about the most, I think, was holy shit, look at N'Keal Harry. absolutely fucking rocked up, jacked. And he looks like a guy who could potentially become their number one. They're certainly hoping that he can become that. We were talking about it in the bleachers about how, you know, he's working on his route running there because he's a physical guy right now, who's a guy that they're going to, you know, use, try and manufacture touches from, give him the ball, let him do work after the catch or go up and get it in physical situations. But it might sound like a bit of a cliche to say this is what we saw at training camp, but you did actually see Tom Brady, the mentality that he has with his receivers, and that's, you could see why he turns scrubs into superstars.
Absolutely.
The mentality, and you could hear him shouting at guys and telling them how to clean up their routes, and he was doing that with Harry, and that gives you hope that Harry can be can be a great player.
You really saw that after, like, it seemed like training ended and then Tom and like a select few, I think it was only like four receivers, were out there throwing the ball, and after every single play the guy would run back and Tom would be telling them that what they did wrong.
I think it was Harry Berrios, Maurice Harris,
Berrios,
afterwards, who were,
he needs to be doing that because he was pretty much injured all last year. And he's a late round draft pick.
Well, if Edelman doesn't get healthy quick, they're going to need him in the slot. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was another thing. Edelman is the most loved man. I think even more than Tom Brady, people love Julian Edelman.
Super Bowl MVP, man. You know, like you command that respect when you're a Super Bowl MVP. You walk around and people love you. An interesting observation we made was to see Danny Etling actually, speaking of receivers.
Oh yeah.
Drafted 7th out of LSU last year as a quarterback, and I remember watching him in training camp and even in one of the preseason games. He was shocking. I'm like, this guy isn't going to be around too long. So now I think he might be in his last chance saloon here, because they have Hoyer, they have Brady, they have the Auburn QB,
Stidham,
who they drafted in the 4th round, I believe it was,
third
this year.
Fourth,
third or fourth. And now we have Etling, so it's like, you're going to have to change position, buddy. I don't think you're going to carry four quarterbacks.
Yeah,
so
he was playing receiver.
He was doing both.
He had a few bad drops.
Was he doing both? I only saw him.
He was
struggling.
He was with the second or towards, but it wasn't with the starters. And he had a few bad drops, so he felt.
Yeah. And let me give you a fun fact. This wasn't a joint practice, but I think the past week, I think they're playing the Lions
with the Lions,
maybe.
Yeah.
But I saw an interesting stat on Twitter that kind of says a lot, not surprising about Bill Belichick, that the Patriots have had 11 joint practices since 2012, and at least one opposing player from all 11 practices has gone on to sign with New England. So he's running joint practices to see who's on the other team, basically. It's brilliant.
Just one more point about the receivers. One thing I would be interested to see is their long storied wide receiver coach, Chad O'Shea, has actually gone to Miami now with Brian Flores to be their offensive coordinator. We've seen, like, for so long, guys, like you said, scrubs that all of a sudden become fucking ballers. Some of that, in fairness, is Tom Brady, but you gotta look at the coaching as well, because you see these guys with such potential. And then they go to New England. Like Chris Hogan, loved watching Chris Hogan, even in like Hard Knocks when he got a 7-11 moniker. Watched him with the Bills. He was always a good player, but it was like, if he can just be used correctly and get that coaching, he's going to be really good. And he went on to win two rings with the Pats. So I was always like, that wide receiver coach, man, he fucking, whatever he's doing, he needs a raise, he needs a promotion. And now he got that promotion, but he's going to be with the rivals. In the AFC East, Miami Dolphins. So I'm interested now to see, because they don't actually have a set wide receiver coach right now, I don't think. So it'll be interesting to see
it's
now.
Tom Brady.
Maybe Bill's son is showing them how to do a few routes. But I'll be interested to see now how the wide receiver group, because they've got 10 receivers right now or something.
Yeah,
they have Demaryius Thomas, guys like that who are only a few years removed from being, top 10
it's
receivers.
An interesting group. It's just a mix of everything they have there, so they're hoping guys are going to step up. Anything else on the Patriots training camp?
I'd be looking to see Isaiah Wynn actually get in soon. He hasn't practiced and he's coming off that torn Achilles.
Is he playing left tackle? I think
he can play guard or tackle. Because I think he was drafted, most draft experts had him tagged as an offensive lineman, meaning he could play guard or tackle. So I'd be looking at him to get in soon. Torn Achilles, normally after a year you should be back out there, but he still hasn't really practiced yet. That's a first round pick. You want him on the field as soon as possible, especially you let Trent Brown go. You need guys keeping Tom on his feet.
Well, so we watched a bit of football that morning, but the real football was yet to be played that night out in
Worcester, Mass.
Worcester.
What a great day of football, actually. Fucking NFL training camp and then going to see a bit of arena ball. For what was it, $15 or something?
I just think it's actually such a good way to spend the night.
It really is.
Out there. Now, the crowd.
Sadly, it's in Worcester, which is a smelly place, but sorry if anybody from Worcester is listening. But
The crowd that was there was the most mixed crowd. Every type of human being was in that crowd. And it started off, I might actually throw in the clip, the Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened, and I tried to get it on the Cover Zero Instagram, but I missed it. There was this woman.
I'll screen record and send it on to you.
There was this woman sitting 3 or 4 rows in front of us, and when I say before every single snap, every single snap. What was it? It was, pressure!
Just no.
Just the most generic, one of them was, find your target. It's just the most generic phrases coming out of this woman.
And the place wasn't packed, so literally she was just dominating the entire stadium with her voice, and it was just doing our head in. I'll include the clip, because what ended up happening, I didn't know you looked at what Instagram videos had been uploaded from that location.
That's right.
And you found some lad who was sitting actually two rows in front of us, directly behind her, who had recorded her on his Instagram. And you can actually see me in the background.
Cringing.
But
we gotta find that kid's Instagram. He's actually a fucking hilarious little kid.
Did you look at his other videos?
No. Has he got a few videos? Has he?
You're basing just off that video.
I just loved his personality from that little 40 seconds.
I thought you were
going
stalking kids here on Instagram, but
research purposes. That's all.
And then we had Dexter McCluster, who plays for the Mass Pirates, but wasn't playing on the night. I think they'd already secured a playoff spot, so he was on the sideline eating chicken nuggets with the gang, or chicken wings.
and his
whole crew of birds,
ladies. Yeah, he had a few of them, didn't he? We keep forgetting. We're talking about how great this night was, and Kieran was.
I'm just
there.
Taking it all in because I wasn't there.
I actually didn't.
Where were you, Kieran?
Working, grinding it out on
the
ground,
working for the man. As he hates to do, whatever, man.
Everyone listening, you should have seen how distraught Kieran was when he learned that he wasn't able to do something that he wanted to do because he had to work for the first time in his life.
It took a few days to get over it.
But I have to say, great entertainment. The fact you're able to see, even though he wasn't playing, just like to see a guy in the flesh, you know, who was drafted so high. Like, he was drafted 36th overall in 2010 by the Chiefs.
Jeez.
Went to the Pro Bowl in 2013. He was second team All Pro in 2013, Dexter McCluster, and now he's fucking eating chicken wings and hanging out with like Instagram like celebrities with 2,000 followers.
Well, you tell them what happened on the story that you saw a few hours ago.
So I was like, I don't think Dexter McCluster's playing, because here he is, it looks like he's high and partying with all of his homies from back home, and we see this guy who's, what was he wearing, Gucci or something like that. It's like, had these outrageous like purple pants on, and then we look up and that's the same guy who was in the bench hanging out with Dexter McCluster, and they're all eating chicken wings. So I just read though earlier on that he's from Florida and this guy is also from Florida, so he clearly had all his mates for the weekend or something. But as it happened, the Pirates lost the following week. They went down to
the
Carolina Cobras, one and done again. So that's 2 years in a row now where they've made the playoffs and gone out in the first round.
Job.
So but it was pretty good football.
Now,
what did you think of it?
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I was thinking going in, surely people are going to be fucking, it's so tight and confined the field that it's just lads fucking running at full speed, beating the shit out of each other. And if you catch the ball near the sideline, you're getting fucked out into the seats.
Which did happen.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
That's like hockey style, isn't it? They'll just run you over the wall.
We were looking at people.
There's
no glass.
If you're sitting in the front row, you are at danger the entire game.
Splash zone.
Yeah.
Like SeaWorld, you're just getting smashed by somebody. Like, have your fucking poncho on because somebody's going to come in your lap. And that's what happened a few times. Like, people's beers spilling all over the place and nacho and cheese going all over the shop. But I guess people probably pay damn well for those seats, knowing that.
Well, we ended up not paying for the good seats and sitting down and
true Irish fashion, just shafting the system. Arena football. It's pretty good.
Give it a go.
It's a good little change of pace, you know.
Like, we're not going to be like the diehards in front of us who are in their jerseys.
Game worn jerseys, by the way. They are game worn.
They knew all the players, and they were obviously there week in and week out. But if you're looking for something to do on a night in Worcester, you could be doing much worse.
Really?
In that fucking shady Irish bar beside that car park.
£15 for a ticket. Not bad entertainment.
No.
Value for money. But yeah, great day of football. NFL training camp, watching washed up NFL stars eating chicken wings on the sideline. What more can you ask for? Saturdays are for the boys.
Preseason, can you say preseason starts tonight since it started last week? I'm going to say preseason.
It's already underway. It's past
preseason
past 7 now.
Has started.
Daniel Jones has already thrown for 150 yards, rushed for about 50. Preseason, we're finally back.
Gary, give us one of your biggest stories looking at in the preseason.
One of mine is, my first one's going to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So hopefully I haven't stole any.
No.
Because we haven't.
I'm sure there's going to be some.
Thought
there might
be a bit of
crossover.
I mean, this is a crossover podcast, so storylines may cross over. My first one is the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. It's A-Rod's first year with a new head coach. Obviously, they fired Mike McCarthy last year. Now they got Matt LaFleur in, former Titans offensive coordinator. It's an interesting one in my eyes for two reasons. The first one, LaFleur, he could only manage the 25th ranked offense last year. with the Titans, with, you know, a young athletic quarterback in Marcus Mariota, who you would expect an offensive coordinator to use those talents, find creative ways to get the offense rolling, but they could only get the 25th offense in the NFL. Now he's going to a QB who has high standards. He's known to be, you know, the most important person in that organization. I can't say owner because the public, they're owned by the public, so he is the face of that franchise, whether it's on the field, off the field. Aaron Rodgers is the Packers. He's known to throw people under the bus. He's done it in the past for whatever reason. So that for me is a big jump up. You've gone up from Marcus Mariota. He seems like a very humble guy, like kind of does stuff by the book, says all the right answers, and then you have A-Rod who kind of will just say what he's feeling and fuck your feelings. You know, if you get hurt, you get hurt. And now it's rolling into my second point. You can start to see the friction. I don't know if you've seen some of the reports that have come out in Green Bay. There is a little bit of friction there already. The first one is that LaFleur seems to have quite a rigid play calling system, and that he's not a fan of audibles and changing the play at the line of scrimmage. Rodgers wants to be the guy that has that freedom to change a play as he sees fit and maybe call another play. If he sees something he doesn't like, flip to another one. I don't know if there's going to be a clash there. Ultimately, I think A-Rod is going to... They're paying him all the money. He's the one that throws the passes and gives the handoffs at the end of the day. I think he will win out. But the fact that they do have that clash of style already, and now Rodgers is already complaining about the practices, because they had that practice with the Texans this week. They were doing live special teams drills. A-Rod wasn't happy about it at all. He was like, I don't fucking appreciate this. The Players Association are going to step in. This is how guys get hurt.
He's big in the PA, in the Players Association.
Yeah, he is, yeah. And there's guys doing live reps and special teams and joint practices where you're hitting guys that aren't your teammates.
Well, did you see there was a fight in the Raiders-Rams joint practice today? So that's the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah.
Rodgers seems like a bit of... He's strange. He's a dickhead. Like,
yeah.
And you're starting to see now that... You know, was it the best idea to hire a first-time head coach to work at Rodgers? Because Rodgers, that power balance lends towards
who's
Rodgers
working with who, though. That's what I'd be curious. Yeah. Like, I cannot believe that if he didn't agree with the signing, he got McCarthy fired. Mm. If he didn't want LaFleur in the building, LaFleur was not in the building.
Yeah.
The fair point.
The thing that surprised me about that audible thing is that LaFleur started off. Well, I don't know if he started off, but he was in LA with Sean McVay, a place where they're literally. Jared Goff is doing everything with Sean McVay at the line, so you wonder why they're not doing something like that.
Yeah,
I feel like you can't really put much stock into any of that kind of stuff. Like people were saying that Gase and Greg Williams were coming to blows at one stage. They were saying that like the whole Patriots organization was going to crumble.
Yeah,
I think there might be a certain point where LaFleur said in one sentence that he's trying to tone it back a little bit, and then it just blew up.
It just takes a life of its own. Like, and you don't know who is putting some of these, leaking these little story. Like, it could be someone from the fucking Bears saying, there's a bit of trouble up there in Green Bay. Or it could be Green Bay themselves. Yeah. They want to appear, a bit dysfunctional. And then season comes along, the offense is rolling, and they're like, we had you in the first half there.
I always just try and take it and then bring it down to like the most realistic, simplest kernel of the story.
But
you like to be with that bullshit.
I'll always like read into the story and be like, oh my god, and I'll get like really, and then I'll give it a second and be like, oh wait, I'm a fucking idiot for thinking that.
I'm looking at, this is going to be a contentious issue, Melvin Gordon and Zeke holding out. Are we paying those boys?
No chance.
Zeke gets paid, I think. Melvin Gordon, you look at the numbers and the difference in the numbers. Like, Zeke is way, like, he's produced a lot more, I feel, than Melvin Gordon.
What I see and what I agree with is, you know, generally there's an argument for not paying a running back, but the way the Cowboys have built their team, they built it around Zeke. So if you let Zeke go, you're blowing everything up, basically.
Yeah.
Like, Dak isn't going to survive on his own.
Mm.
Melvin Gordon is just a guy that's, I've said this before, he's a great overall running back. You're not going to pick many flaws in his game, but what does he really excel at? Like, there's nothing. Like, he's not a superb pass catcher. He's generally well-rounded player, but you're not looking at a star talent. There's a spot for someone who's just a general overall good talent. But I'm looking at guys with like a particularly good like fantastic skill set.
Something
like
they offer that the other guys on the roster don't bring to the table. Yeah.
And Zeke is super talented at a number of things. I think Melvin Gordon is kind of a step below in being talented at a lot of things. But you look at a guy like Alvin Kamara, probably best pass catching back in the league. You have other guys who've got power. You know, Melvin Gordon has power, speed. You know, he's just pretty well rounded. But I think that's something that is more replaceable than. And it's certainly, I think he's demanded a trade that he wants 10. Did he reject 10 million or did he wants 10 million?
I think he wanted 10 million or something like that.
Yeah.
He only has one season over 1,000 yards rushing in his four since coming into the league.
Yeah. He's been injured as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, but like that's another thing as well. Like, did they get that much worse when he was injured last year? I don't think so.
No,
I think they had that committee going on with Eckler and Jackson.
Yeah.
Who actually worked quite well, you know. So I think people are looking at that going, well, Jesus, like, should we pay this guy when we were probably around the same or maybe a slight bit worse with Gordon out of the picture, but we have a lot more money in cap room if we don't pay this guy, you know?
I feel bad for running backs today because I hate saying, oh, don't pay this man who's worked it, like, really hard to get his money and get his contract.
Mm.
And, you know, the whole analytics crowd will be, like, banging the table. Do not pay these running backs. You can draft someone in the third round. But like the stats and, you know, the recent history show that you can let running backs walk and replace their production in the draft without having to save your money for other positions where that's not as doable.
I think with Gordon, it comes down to, will he get paid somewhere else? Zeke would definitely get the money somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely a team that would be like, we'll give you the
in
house. Like,
yeah.
And he'll get a better contract as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're getting more guaranteed money. They're getting other things added into their contract. He'll get that kind of contract somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, the team's built around him. So I'd imagine he'd get the money. But Gordon won't get that kind of money because he hasn't shown enough. Like, he's not going to walk onto a team like Bell is with the Jets and totally change the organization.
And the Chargers are notoriously stingy in, like, you know, they've had holdouts last a good while because they're like, they don't like to be held to ransom.
No.
Joey Bosa recently.
The Bosa one as well, yeah. And like, a good friend of ours, Paul Grogan, we were only speaking about, were like, the Chargers don't like being held to ransom at all.
Yeah.
If you're a player, you're like, well, I'm not playing because you're not paying me. You're like, well, see ya.
I think
you're going to have to readjust your expectations that you're not going to get paid what you want, you know?
Yeah, I think Gordon's probably gone, but Zeke, I can't see a situation where Jerry Jones lets Zeke walk.
No.
He means too much to the Dallas Cowboys, like that whole.
Yeah. But here's the thing now. When it comes around for Dak to get paid and the market is dictating whether he deserves or not, he's probably going to get $30 million a year.
That'd be a disgrace.
A lot of money for two players. And one of them, like, one deserves it and one doesn't really. Like, that is a lot.
Well,
how much is that a year for two players? $50 million?
If they were.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
What's the going rate? What's the top backs getting?
I think
15.
Gurley is probably up to 17 or something.
Okay.
Maybe 15.
But like, if the market keeps going, if he gets more than Gurley, which inflation will probably say that he does get more.
Yeah.
You're talking 18, 19 million and 30 million for just a quarterback and a running back. That is a lot of your salary cap for two players.
I wouldn't say necessarily paying Zeke is the smart thing, but I think it's the thing you kind of have to do.
Mm.
But you pay Zeke and then you draft a new quarterback, and that allows you to, instead of having to spend money on Dak and Zeke, you can put the money that you would have spent on Dak, give that less of that, probably half what Dak would have got, give that to Zeke, and then you've got a quarterback and a rookie contract, and away you go. That's probably how you solve that issue. But I don't know, do Cowboys fans like Dak or do they hate him? I think they kind of defend him quite a lot, so I don't know whether they...
Well, he like rescued the team at that stage, so there's...
Yeah.
Like when Romo was on the way out, he just came in and rescued the team, so there's always going to be that, like, this is the new guy, like...
And they got that win. They got that playoff win, which is a big thing as well, you know. They had that proverbial monkey off the back. It's like, the Cowboys can't win in the playoffs, you know. So now you are a young quarterback for the Cowboys that has a playoff win under your belt.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you do get that little bit of leeway, I feel, just because
there is
that like almost curse with Dallas. They can't win the playoffs. When you do get one, the fans do kind of get on
your side. Like when you get a quarterback who's in any way close to being good, you hold on to it. Like all the fans will be like, oh, this is the guy. Because they have to believe that, because everyone hates the shit quarterback bullshit that you have to go through as a fan of a bad team.
Which, you know,
looking at
Gary
here.
What are you talking about?
Both of us.
Fucking two-time Super Bowl MVP. Don't be looking at me.
Karen, what are you looking at?
I'll stick with, I have two good ones, but I'll stick with the running backs for now. Specifically,
self-professed good ones. We'll leave it at that.
How Le'Veon Bell, not necessarily how he'll fit in with the Jets, but more how the year off will affect his game. So, like, in general, like, how a year off will affect, you know, a star player's performance on the field. Obviously, you'd expect it to go up, but given that football is such a game of, like, especially at that speed and at that level, it's all instinct, it's all speed. And he's a guy who's patient and he needs a good O-line and he'll read his blocks well and all that kind of stuff. How well will a year off allow him to sync all that back up? Or will it take a few games? You know, will he get a lot of reps in preseason now just to see if he can kind of almost like just mold himself into the offense? Because I think that's the kind of player he is.
Mm.
He molds himself into an offense and then just like is dominant as a running back.
Yeah, I don't foresee any issues. If anything, he's the kind of player where you could probably drop him into any team in any situation in any week, and because of the way he runs, his running style, where the offensive line could be shit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to really need to be in sync. In Pittsburgh, he developed that, but honestly, his style of play is he'll just wait and see where the open hole is, and maybe he does get in sync and he begins to know where the hole is, but he's the kind of guy that you can, more than any other running back, I think, you could probably put him behind a brand new offensive line and he'll be
make them look good.
Hit the get around running already, and I don't think he's the kind of guy who'd be on his on the couch eating fucking crisps.
So if we specified it as taking a year off, essentially to like either get a better contract or as a running back, as a star running back. Let's say Zeke just takes a year off. He doesn't really need it yet. Maybe but in a year or two, he's definitely the kind of guy who might consider it. Is this something that might start to lengthen a running back's career?
If Bell takes a year off and gets refreshed and has a dominant year this year, other running backs might take notice.
Mm. And what does it say for the potential of the Jets that Ryan Khalil came out of retirement specifically to play for the Jets?
Yeah.
Like, he must be looking at that situation going, you know, we've got this second year QB. Darnold has shown flashes. We've brought in some free agents.
Mm-hmm.
You got CJ Mosley on the defense. You got Le'Veon Bell.
Quinnen Williams.
You got good draft picks. You've got a couple of studs here now. It's starting to, like, New York, I think the tide is starting to.
There's almost
shift
a bit of stability
in
it,
you know,
this year. Like, given that basically every preseason there's just been a load of shit. So even then, with a guy like Ryan Khalil coming back after, well, coming out of retirement, essentially,
how many years
not
has
training.
He had, like, 2 years off or something like that?
No, because in All or Nothing, he retired. He hasn't even had a year off.
Oh, so
he retired. He hasn't had a year off.
Ah, okay.
He just was,
just enjoyed his off season. I'd like to see what sort of shape he is right now. You know.
Yeah, because all the linemen just seem to lose.
He's like, fucking
not
in the NFL anymore. Let me chill.
Sean O'Hara, who's on NFL Network, lost a shitload of weight. Jeff Saturday, my God, he's like
look
half
at even
Joe
Gronk,
Thomas.
Look at all of them.
It's crazy the amount of weight they lose. They end up just being shredded. Yes, they do have all that muscle. They also just
they have to be
an immovable object.
Yeah, apparently
know?
It's not like even a dramatic lifestyle shift. You just stop, like if you're force feeding yourself
throughout
your NFL career. You start eating normally and you just look like a fucking
no 10,000 calories a day or whatever. Yeah.
What's your other storyline then?
Got it. Yeah, I've got one. It's got to be my Giants.
Did I put you on the spot here?
No. They are under a microscope. Having drafted what looks to be Eli's successor, you know, like you spend a sixth overall draft pick on somebody, you would assume that in time that player would overtake Eli as the starting quarterback. I think the microscope is fairly on Gettleman, because I would agree with whoever else is saying that it was a bit of a, even though I had Daniel Jones mocked to the Giants in the fourth round, a lot of people said it was a huge stretch given, as I think we can all agree, the amount of defensive talent that was on the board still at number six overall was quite significant. And then to take this quarterback with the sixth pick, it's just like those are the type of decisions that can make or break the tenure of a GM, you know, because they let go of the face of the franchise after just extending them. So it's like, are you all rolling in the same direction or what? Because you give this guy $100 million, you say you don't extend the guy to trade him or whatever, and then you do fucking trade him.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of these decisions that are really on Gettleman. You know, he's got to produce.
How many years does he have left?
I'd say he's got 2 years.
Max. Maximum or minimum?
Yeah.
There's a lot more he can do wrong. So him, this mightn't be the straw that breaks the camel's back, you know.
If you're asking me personally, I would say the ceiling and the floor are not too far away from each other. Right. Maybe like the floor is two and the ceiling's only an extra year
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
So you're kind of looking like 3 years down the line after drafting the QB in the first round. If shit's not working out,
yeah.
you got to start considering reloading, mm-hmm. you know.
I think he should be fired already.
Like, well, like, yeah, it's something had to change though. Like, they lost their 40% of their games over the last 5 or 6 years. That's all the Giants have won. Maybe even worse than that, actually.
But you just don't change things by trading away the best receiver, arguably the best receiver in the league, for what ended up being Jabril Preppers, a nose tackle with a 17th pick, and
got Kevin Zoiter, but that was with
Olivier
Vernon trade.
Yeah. Like, they got nothing for Odell, and
well, they got the extra pick, which they took DeAndre Baker. No, sorry,
they got
the 17th, because they traded back in.
And Jabril Peppers and something else, but like
Dexter Lawrence.
It just seems like, you know, when they drafted Saquon, it was like, okay, now we've got Saquon to pair with Odell. They drafted the offensive Will Hernandez in the second round, the guard.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a bit of a vision here.
Yeah,
and then now this year, it's like, wait, what are you trying to do now? There's just, it just looks like when you take, okay, I could probably get behind this, then you trade away Odell and you draft Daniel Jones with 6th overall pick. It's hard to know what they're trying to do. There's no real clear vision that you can get behind. But I do hope that, I wasn't a huge fan of the Daniel Jones pick, but I think it's, I was saying to you before that I think it's an absolute disgrace how people are just, like, you talk about the microscope being on the Giants, the microscope being on Daniel Jones. Like, if you see an incomplete pass tonight, it'll be all over Twitter when every other quarterback is doing the same shots. Oh, look at Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And I hope for his sake that he does well.
The amount of times I've been fucking tagged in one video specifically was of training camp, and it was a bad throw, to be fair. He was trying to hit somebody in the flat, but it sailed out of bounds, basically.
Yeah.
I'd say about 10 people tagged me in that video. They're like, oh, he's already on Eli Manning status or something like that. I was like, just fuck off. Most of these people are fans of franchises that haven't won a Super Bowl ever. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about?
Well, speaking of that, did you see those the top 10 most tortured franchises, NFL franchises, and who was number one? The team that has won 2 Super Bowls in the past, 11 years? He said the Giants are the most tortured franchise in the NFL. It was obviously a clickbait. Because, like, you have the Lions, the Bills, the Bengals below them. Like,
I think the Lions fans just accept our fate, though, you know? Whereas, like, maybe the Giants are where
they're just comfortable in mediocrity.
Yeah, the Giants have kind of shown flashes where, you know, they might actually have a loaded, talented team and just nothing happens for them. But
speaking of torture franchises, the other thing I'm looking at, are you finished with the Giants?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this Browns hype train that is
getting
a bit out of control, I think. I said on Twitter that if they don't go 16-0, there's going to be very disappointed Browns fans, because the way this team is going and it's being hyped up.
Mm.
Like, the question I have is, what's the over-under on wins total? Like, what's the expectation here? Are we looking double digits minimum?
Yeah.
Oh,
because,
I think...
Because how, like, they started with Hugh Jackson as the coach, and then he was gone, and then they got Baker in, they won 7. You would expect
a
couple. And, like, they also lost a few games by a very small margin as well.
That's what I was just going to say, that, like, I feel like just because the hype is so based on, like, such a pure amount of talent on the team, I feel like if they went, let's say, like, 8 to 10 wins, that kind of look, if they're absolutely balling out, like, if they are tight games, exciting games, if this is like the like a culmination of about 10 years of a new brand of football that the league has been developing, I think they can get away with a little bit more. But I think that's what people think this is. People are saying that we're going away from the old school NFL where it's all hitting, it's all mad contact. This is the team this is the proof of concept of, you know, fast flying balls, receivers, all that kind of stuff. If it doesn't work, if it's not exciting football, they're screwed. You know, if Baker's sacked like 10 times a game, they're screwed.
Mm.
Probably unlikely to be sacked 10 times a game.
Very unlikely, however.
But it's also kind of shown the pattern in which Barry pointed out a couple of times, and that teams are now, like, given their rookie quarterbacks, they're loading up on talent.
Yeah.
You know, because they know, like, if that quarterback does do well, clearly he's going to get a massive extension on a second deal. So while those guys are playing on the cheap, you give them the weapons. So now he has Baker, has Landry, he has Odell, you know, and they've brought in, like, you give these guys as much talent as they can, because you know, that window can be quite small.
Yeah.
Give them those few years where they just are surrounded by ballers, and then, you know, come 4 years into the guy's deal, he's looking for an extension or whatever, you cross that bridge when you get to it. But focus short term and just surround these guys with talent while you're paying them only a few million a year.
Do we have
seems to be happening.
Breaking news here?
Yeah,
what
by the way,
fuck
yeah.
happened there?
Daniel Jones, 5 for 5.
Wait, did you see the top there?
Yeah, suspended. I think there's lightning in New York, yeah. Because he's fucking torching
he
the
does.
Place. Daniel Jones. 5 for 5, 67 yards, 1 touchdown. But Sam Darnold, 4 for 5, 68 yards and 1 touchdown.
So they wanted so Daniel Jones got out of there on a high. He's fucking
Daniel Jones, that's it.
Perfect quarterback
relax
rating
now for a night. Perfect quarterback rating.
Rest him for the rest of the preseason. Wait, save him for week one.
Marcus Mamos.
I'm here for the haters. I just want to hear what the haters have to say after this. So yeah, suspended due to lightning right now. So yeah, we're not missing too much.
Good.
Kieran, then our final preseason storyline, if you have one.
This is a bit of a callback to a previous segment I did, although I can't remember what the name of it was. You'll remember once I say it. But how, like, the legalization of betting and gambling will affect, like, the sport, the NFL, but particularly, like, how the CBA negotiations are going to play out this year. And, like, obviously continuing for the next 2 or 3 years.
Because now I feel stupid for just doing football, and you're looking deeper,
yeah,
as
yeah.
you always
see,
do.
You see?
Us
I'm thinking,
chumps.
I'm thinking
have you been sponsored by a betting company or something, and now you're just going to announce?
Well, it's funny you say that.
Yeah. Brought to you by Paddy Power.
Go to Google Play Store.
I do not have Paddy Power on board yet, Gary.
Yeah, I know.
After this, we will. Send them this clip.
They'd probably send me a fucking cease and desist. Like, they're wearing green and black. Yeah. Also, Paddy something, you know?
Anything to add on that?
It's more just like it. Who knows? Obviously, like the owners all want this to happen because they're going to make shit tons of money off of it.
Crazy,
but it'll be
money.
Super interesting in how the players start to make money out of it, which is it's a dangerous
very
way
dangerous.
To go down.
Yeah.
But again, when you look at like how profit sharing and stuff works and how that'll come in, that's definitely like I'd say number one for the CBA. Like the number one thing that they're going to be stuck on is like whether stars of a team should be getting more, and like should that be growing, you know, and should that grow with every single agreement they make, and this will play into it because that I don't actually have the numbers. I should look them up, but like, they have to be massive numbers. Like if you look at how much betting goes on, and like even when I'm watching football, I'll be VPNing home and like using it. Don't put that in.
You're a degenerate. Yeah,
total degenerate.
We should ask one of my neighbours who works for the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. She'd know all these facts and figures if we asked her, yeah. But it's billions. Like, it's a massive industry.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays into the negotiations. Like, that'll start to ramp up. We'll start to hear a lot more of it over the next 2 years. And that has to be the number one.
Yeah. What worries me is, like, you know, you can have gambling in soccer matches and stuff. And unless you're the goalkeeper,
you can't really affect
the outcome is not as extreme. But say you're a wide receiver, for example, and there's a spread or whatever, and if you know what the spread is and you're like, I'm gonna decide to not catch this pass because it fucking ruins the spread and there's millions on the line, like that's a genuine, that could happen, 100%, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
there was years ago where you could bet on Irish games, Dublin Rebels games, people were betting on them. I'm not going to name
Gary,
names.
Were you dropping
it was me. there were occasions where it was like there was certain spreads and all. I was like, tough decisions have to be made. You got to put bread on the table as well, you know. But like, you know,
as you're looking that ball into your hand, like, do I really want to catch this?
It's like caught it, scored a touchdown. But like, you know, what are these guys thinking if they have a few million on the line or whatever, and you know they're faced with that sort of situation?
Yeah.
Like that's what worries me.
I don't think they'll unless they can figure out how to combat that. Like imagine if there was like incentives.
Yeah.
They'd have to like the incentives will start to change as well. Because like if you drop a pass and you lose the spread.
Yeah. But if you
there's
look at
probably
Super Bowl
a
bet,
way.
The prop bets.
Yeah.
It's like over under. Like when we watched the Super Bowl, it was like we did watch it in casino in fairness. Like there was like you could literally bet on every play. Like,
yeah.
Every single play someone was betting.
Yeah.
But like you could bet on every stat line. Over under a certain amount of rushing yards, over under receptions. Like somewhere in the world, someone is betting fucking thousands on Tom Brady having more than 208 yards passing.
But what I don't understand is how some of those bets aren't something simple, like if Jim Nantz says this word a number of times, Jim Nantz can just tell us, lads, I'm going to say it enough times, bet on it. I don't know how that's not
length of the national anthem and all.
Yeah,
it's like someone pays fucking Aretha Franklin or Pink or whoever singing, like, here, throw a few extra seconds on there at the end.
But I think the danger is already there in the form of the fantasy football, where it's much more likely, instead of looking at the spread, if you're saying, right, lads, get me, like, it, I don't know, I'm looking into it too much, but say, as you're creating your offensive game plan, you force feed a guy the ball or something like that. But when you're talking about dropping a pass, like, there's a much more direct correlation between you being on your DraftKings team and knowing that, rather than, I don't think the betting thing, like, you can already bet gamble money via the daily draft, so I don't know that this is introducing anything that's not already potentially there.
There is a certain amount of, like, I don't know how best to say it, but, like, in football, like, literally anything can happen on the day. You know, like, you go to soccer games, obviously things change, but, like, with football, literally the worst team in the league can come up and in 1 year literally get rid of one single person and become one of the stronger teams in the year, or in the league, all within, like, one season. So, like, I think it might be a bit harder for players to do it. Like, you drop one pass, who knows what effect that'll have on the game later on. Like, that one drop pass could lead to a pick six in the next, you know, it's fourth down, leads to a pick six. Either way, you've absolutely fucked yourself, you know, because you've dropped the pass, you're now a worse player in the eyes of your coaches and the GM. And the other guys just caught a pick six. So I think there's too much in football for it to be as clear as day as a goalkeeper letting in another goal.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully. There's no shenanigans and, you know, it's responsible and it doesn't, like, negatively affect the game.
Yeah.
That's, we don't want that.
Let's move on to a couple.
Unless we can make money off of it.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm all in.
Move on to a couple of questions. And
yeah.
The first question is one that has been thrown around on, I threw around on the Rebels bus this year, and there was a few interesting answers, but
I didn't know this part now, which is more than likely my answer has almost certainly been used, but go on.
Well, it'd be interesting. I feel like there's an obvious one, and there's an obvious one for the other question as well, I feel, but
there's two right answers,
certainly an obvious position.
Well, I guess it's probably about the reasons why.
We'll count it down and we'll say our answer all at the same time. So the question is, you're allowed to bring one current NFL player onto your IFL team for one season. Who do you choose? So I'll go three. Well, not. I'm three, two, one. Name the player. Okay.
Okay.
I'm actually debating between two. But
is this one
season? One season. So
one
age
singular
matter,
season.
Basically. Age doesn't matter. So.
Ah, okay. Season. That changes my answer. One singular season.
Well,
that
if you read the
rundown,
you might. Have a bit of a clue what's going on here.
Where's the countdown timer?
Are you still? Do you have to come up with someone new now?
I think I know. No, I think I think I have it. I think I have it.
3, 2, 1.
Tom
Ray Rice.
Jackson.
Shit, I didn't read the rules.
Is your backup Greg Hardy?
JJ Watt would be my
JJ
name.
Watt.
Who did you go with? Because
I went with Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Okay. Kieran.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
One single season?
This is everything.
You want a guy who can just force feed your entire team knowledge.
Yeah.
You might have a bunch of scrubs out there, a receiver. I think a running quarterback is the answer. He will score on every single play.
I would take,
and he still has the threat of the arm. Just literally, if you put Lamar Jackson back there, he will run past the entire whatever.
See, that's fine.
This is where I've gone in a totally different direction, because when you said one player onto an IFL team, it made me think long and hard. Is it, like, just a player for his on the field, or is it a player on your team, which changes things a little bit?
Well, have a few points with.
No, but, like, you want a great player for me is not just someone who goes onto the field and does, you know, what he does every week. It's someone who's a leader in the locker room, who's a team player, and he also brings up other guys around him. Like, he brings the 100%, best, brings the best out of guys around him. Like, we don't know if Lamar. Not disagreeing with your choice whatsoever. Right now, we don't know if Lamar Jackson does that. We do know that JJ Watt is a guy who is an all-around good guy. Like, he does a lot of good shit for people, whether it's playing catch with kids in the stands, raising money for the Hurricane Harvey victims from a few years ago. Like, he's just that guy who's a fucking team guy. He put the city of Houston on his back, and that's a big fucking back that he has. He just seems to like love his team, love his city, and he is like a great representative for that team. So if you bring him into your IAFL locker room, I feel like, you know, he's going to be all in. If you're a Dublin Rebel, yeah, he's going to be all in with the Rebels, whether he's a fucking Craigavon cowboy. No matter what the team, I feel like he's going to give you his 100% on and off the field. Right. And that's what I would want in a player, is a guy who is, you know, you can go to war in the trenches with him, and you know that he's going to have your back. He's never going to let you down. I feel like that's what JJ Watt brings.
Well, you can have your locker room. I'll have my Shamrock.
I think we're forgetting the difference
in talent. You just want the player. He's not even going to be on the same planet as us.
How many players that we see in the IFL that are great players but shitbag humans or shitbag teammates?
Three of them right here.
But you've seen it happen, you know. They're great players, but they also bring a bit of toxicity into the locker
room. If you look at the history of the IAFL, the most successful teams, including the Rebels, obviously we're all Rebels, so like that's the strong part.
Sorry, I play for Trinity now.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that part.
Big contract on the table there.
The teams that have won the most or have been the best football teams were with the smartest people. We are good players. I can attest to that.
After a bottle of Buckfast, so IQ was like 12
pre-Buckfast.
Okay,
like I can attest any ounce of skill that I may have picked up in the few years to the people who taught me to play it. That's literally I couldn't play football. I couldn't play any sport until I was told how to do it. Like you bring Lamar Jackson in and you get what happened to Trinity a few years ago. They're the best team in the league. He leaves after 1 year and they start to lose.
Lamar McDowell.
I'm not naming names.
See, I was going to say that I was looking at it far more simplistically. Like, I just want the freak athlete who's going to score on every play.
But the
interesting thing that you guys have actually brought up is the impact that they will leave on the team. Like, if he... Actually, Bill Belichick might be the right answer. Like, to bring him across.
Specifically said one player, though.
I'll throw him out like
he can fucking do the job as well. He was giving hand-offs last week at training camp. I remember saying to Kerry, I was like, gee, that looks like Bill Belichick giving a handoff to Brandon Bolden over there. It was just the shorts. He still wears these old school shorts from like 10 years ago.
I'm pretty sure they're Reebok calves to pictures.
Or Reebok shorts. I'm almost certain. Sure, he just ripped the logo off.
We're not allowed to do that anymore.
My original answer for that was Cam Newton. For someone who's like, if 1 year
wasn't
it, he
wears one pair of Cam Newton cleats and now he's all over his dick.
But like, just pure like physical dominance. Like, you can put him literally anywhere on the field and he'll beat everyone. Like, well, you can put him at safety. He could play nose tackle in our league. He can play quarterback, receiver, everything, and he's going to dominate.
Now here's the curveball I'm going to throw you. We're seeing women now get more involved in the league. What's Cam Newton's history about women coaching?
Well, you put Ray Rice on your team.
That slipped out.
Carl saved me there. I don't have to answer now.
What about Cam Newton's history with women involved in football?
It's only for one year.
Just putting it out there. Our head of coaching in the IFL is a woman.
It's true.
I definitely didn't look at it as deep as you guys did, which might have some merit. I think the running quarterback is probably the guy, or even Saquon Barkley, if you just direct snap to him every time, I think you'd put up 100 in a game. JJ Watt, like, they wouldn't be able to, the other offense wouldn't really be able to run a play if you had him in. Like, you just wouldn't be able to do anything. Tom Brady, he could turn a bad receiver into a relatively usable receiver. I'll make the NFL with him.
But I think Kieran brought up a good point. Like, you have this guy for a year. What like footprint or mark is he going to leave on the team when he's gone? When Lamar Jackson's gone from the Wexford Eagles, for example, just throwing it out there, right? From the Wexford Eagles, right? They're both boards, Ravens and Eagles. Like, they have that great year with Lamar Jackson as quarterback for the Eagles. Then Lamar Jackson goes. Do they become garbage without him, or does he leave such an impression on that team that they continue to go on to great things?
Well, Lamar Jackson hasn't even properly developed as a passer, so I don't even know if they'd even get promotion with him.
Fair enough. Okay. They got close this year. I'll give them that. I enjoy playing against them. But yeah, so we all had a bit of a different take on it.
So the next question, I don't know how similar your answer is going to be for this, but this is one that we saw. It KFC Radio posted this, but I know they started from somewhere else.
That the guy cheated on his pregnant girlfriend.
There's no chance these guys came up with this themselves, but if you had to clone one NFL player to field a team and play all 11 positions... Actually, I'm just reading this now. Surely it should be all 22. Are we saying offense and defense?
No, you see, now I didn't think about
it. Okay, we'll just go with that then, because it doesn't matter for
all
me.
All like 22, like both sides of the ball.
So he's basically saying one player has got to play every offensive position.
Or defense if they're on defense.
Okay. Okay, I got it.
Does that matter for you? We can talk about both anyway. Give you whatever answer you have. Who would it be? Well, we did the same thing because me and Kieran have said we think we have the exact same guy.
For the past 2 days, Scott and I have just been like talking to each other. There's only one right answer. We both know what it is.
Just sitting in your jocks just talking about this topic. Like.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Aaron
Newton.
No.
What the fuck?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Donald.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. I'd like to see him in pass.
Are you going
to? Oh, man. You want a guy who's just pure.
Here's a guy.
You talk about a guy.
You're not calling it good over here. Purely physically dominant. He's the guy.
Okay.
He's the guy.
I mean, you're talking
about
a guy.
He also practices with knives, which is pretty badass. Like, did you ever see that footage?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a guy like trying to stab him and he...
They turn out to be fake.
Why didn't we do that down at the high school? That, now, that's a way to get off the bump if someone's actually threatening to stab you. Like, fucking get off that jam fairly quickly. Jabbing you with a rusty needle or something.
So you have Odell.
Yeah.
He's shown he can throw the ball.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. Like, we know he can run routes. We know he can... Like, he could slot in a running back, you know, sweeps.
Yeah.
You know, any stretch plays, stuff like that. He's just going to more than likely get to the edge. I also just put him in there... Like, because technically, if they were having the kick on fourth down,
didn't think of that.
Also part of the offense then. So
I think you guys are trying to be too smart about it.
I mean,
if you have an 11 Aaron Donalds, you're not.
You're the only
the
one not being smart about it. How the hell is Aaron Donalds going to hold up against Julio Jones and Odell Beckham on a fade? Like,
they won't get that far. They literally won't get that far.
How many one-step stands have we seen fucking Odell Beckham take to the house?
He's going to fucking burn Aaron Donald.
But he cannot.
I don't think
you've ever seen him kick the ball.
Odell Beckham
didn't boot the ball a mile because like he played a bit of soccer when he was in high school or something. That's my reason. He can throw, he can catch, he can kick the ball, he can walk the dog, he can paint the front porch, he can do everything you want him to do. Odell Beckham.
I thought it was Cam because we watched All or Nothing together. We both said... Cam is arguably the most athletic-looking human being on the planet. And, you know, obviously he can throw. He's one of the best running quarterbacks in the league. And you throw him at tight end and you're laughing all day long. I just think... And offensive line as well.
Okay.
Offensive line are you going to have with Odell, like, playing
just
guard?
Chop block for 1 second and just get the ball out there. Here, he's good at diving up to his knees, apparently. Not my words, just from what I've read, he's good at doing that stuff. So maybe he'll be able to throw in a chop block or two on people. Like we said, just get it out. Get the ball into his hands. Just has to be a stand-up hitch or whatever. Get it into his hands.
And he can toss the ball. You can just lateral it to all the other Odells as well on your
exactly.
way.
Exactly, yeah.
Geez, that'd be some locker room.
Can you do that in Madden? Like, is there a way of...
Having every player?
Having one guy...
Probably. And we'll play against each other.
That'd be amazing to see what that would be like. Maybe we can.
There's definitely a mod or something. Like
yeah.
It is going to be a toxic locker room with 11 Odells there.
Yeah.
No, because they all love each other.
Oh, yeah.
Might be a bit too much the other way.
Yeah.
All right. Will we finish up with?
It's good questions though. That was it. Made you.
I am reconsidering the whole Aaron Donald.
We need the IFL community to come together and answer that one on who they'd like to have on their team.
Maybe we stick that up on the social media page or something.
Well, you're miles ahead with us on social media, so we'll get it on yours.
I seem to be just a meme factory at the moment. They need to get away from all fucking memes. People are sending me in memes now. They're like, what's the best way to send me in a meme? I'm just like, Carrier Pigeon will find its way here. Just stick it in there.
I'll shamelessly ask all the Paddy Pigskin listeners to go and follow.
Yeah,
Cover Zero podcast on... We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And pretty much all the same podcasts that you're on, I think.
Yeah, do follow the Cover Zero guys. I love listening to them.
It's much better.
It's very well produced. I have to say, anytime I listen, yous are on point. The production is really good. So
you're right too.
Do follow. I'm a one man show, really. Well, do you do the production and you do production, Kieran, or what?
Does Kieran do anything?
I don't know.
Nah, come on.
I'm just getting a peek. This is a peek behind the curtain here for me, because when we're in Orlando, it was just the two of us really with two mics.
We must
and Jerry was on the
that.
Couch.
I had a
Jerry
brief dalliance
Jerry
with
wasn't really recording with us, and then we were talking about the Eagles and
he
shouted in from the couch something about Fletcher Cox.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because we were naming our pro ball teams and then he starts
cheering. Like, where is Fletcher Cox?
As soon as he heard Cox, he was like, what? Is that Cox?
Right, we're just up on the hour here. We'll give one hot take each, I guess, on Hard Knocks. If you haven't
watched it,
fuck yourself. It's been out long enough, and it's on YouTube. I think they usually do the first episode on YouTube. But I thought it was okay for a first episode. They're usually slow enough to get going, but I thought AB was interesting. Jonathan Abram seems like a bit of a character, a guy I knew nothing about. Old Town Road is pretty funny.
Yeah, AB is a fucking moron though.
Tell, because I'm not even sure what happened.
Frostbite. You'll be on getting frostbite. These new shocks. He fucking went into a cryotherapy chamber when he was on his hollybops in France there with his family like a month ago or something. So he's actually trained once or twice with frostbite. And I'm pretty sure most people have seen the picture of his nasty ass feet where they're like peeling off. But like, that's what you get with AB. Great football player, but just absolute fucking idiot that does dumb shit all the time without thinking about it. Like, that's because he was on holidays. He didn't have his minders around, more than likely, saying, hey, AB, don't step into a minus 250 degree fucking tank with no bleeding footwear on, you know? That's the sort of shit you get. And now we can't practice. And you got the scrutiny of the HBO cameras, and your best offensive player isn't on the field because of bonehead decisions like that. And that's the shit you get with AB. Like, the amount of stories you read, if you dig deep enough, you hear a lot of stories about AB down in Florida just acting the bollocks. Mm-hmm. You know, just not thinking, head isn't on. Like, you can tell by looking and listening to him, he's not all there. Like,
you can see in HBO, there's definitely something not there.
Yeah.
Even, okay, there's one thing about showing up in the hot air balloon. But it was, did you see he had his own mat just to step on before he stepped on? His own custom mat to step on before he stepped onto the hot air balloon. Like, what are you doing? And you can tell just the way he goes about.
Yeah.
I wonder, did HBO, because they didn't get into that AB, like, they obviously we knew he was injured from it, but they didn't really get into it at all. Are they told by the Raiders not to give any information? Because you'd think...
Well, it's only come out in the last few days. Like, the first episode was already filmed.
Yeah.
And since that was filmed, it's kind of come out. So it'll be interesting to see now.
Next episode.
The next one. Now that it's in the public domain that he was a fucking idiot that got into this cryo tank.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows about it. I wonder, do they address it next week, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the sort of shit. We haven't even touched on Richie Incognito yet.
They didn't
that's
even...
That's a ticking time bomb.
They didn't really...
I kind of was annoyed about that they didn't get into how much of a scumbag he's been, basically.
Yeah.
And
I think they're trying to paint the Raiders in a good light. They're trying to avoid all that. Like, that's... But these guys just fit the Raiders model, you know? Like, your boy, Perfect. You haven't touched on him yet either.
No.
It's just a lot of ticking time bombs there, I feel. Like, if it all blows up, it's going to be messy.
What did you think about the conversation Gruden had with Abram about hitting too much? I was there thinking, all right, calm down, rookie. You're getting a bit too...
Yeah.
You know, when he was saying...
Yeah,
like, Gruden was like, don't hit anyone, and he was kept giving him back chat.
Like, you see, Luke Wilson was like, we'll see now when we put pads on.
Yeah.
I'd say someone's going to take his head clean off and say, look, there's a...
He does strike me as someone who can take it, though. Right,
he looks like he looks like a really good player, but
I think he's gonna have to have his head on swivel, because I'd say he might get cheap shot by one of the vets.
And he's like, he's obviously, everyone else is playing at one type of level, and he's just playing above them. They're more than capable of meeting that physicality, but they know that it's not what you're supposed to do. He doesn't know that.
I'm sure we've all been in practices where it's supposed to be like 50 or 70%.
Oh yeah.
And someone is taking a 100 and you get blown.
And it's a very fine line. It's
and
a very
it's like,
difficult
enough,
line for a defensive player to.
And we're all, you know, we're all like fine. You know, you take the hit or whatever, but you know, you gotta match the intensity.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point in doing it otherwise?
Yeah.
You're saying it's 50%, it's 50%. Can't have one guy running that 100 and blowing people up.
Yeah.
I'd say he's gonna get fucking lit up by somebody.
The conversation was interesting. Like, the conversation itself was interesting. Like, because he was almost giving him back chat.
Yeah,
but it could have been like, it did strike me, like, you could see he kind of had a little smirk on it, and you don't know what their relationship is like since he's been drafted, so like, maybe they have this, like, Gruden knows that he's being heard, which is obviously the most important thing.
It's also interesting that they call him Gruden, you know.
Do they? I didn't know.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, Abram even said to his face he'd call him Gruen.
Like, probably because they all know him from TV. That's where they...
Yeah. He does seem to have that kind of more laid back approach with his
players.
I think
he definitely has the respect of the players,
yeah,
from what I saw. But it'll be interesting. Something I've heard is that players who were formerly coached by Gruden said he's just rehashing the exact same speeches he's given to them. So it's hard to know whether how genuine it is or if it's just going to be a shit show.
All cliches, yeah.
But yeah, we'll leave it there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next episode anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll do this again at some point, a crossover at some episode.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Well, Kieran might be gone by that point, but
we'll see.
Jack and Sean might be around if Jack's not too busy.
we'll leave it at that about Jack. The game was still suspended, by the way, in New York.
There's no way you can restart that with Daniel Jones having a perfect stat line.
Just take him out of the game. Put in fucking Kyle Lauletta or...
The third string.
Maybe. They've got they've got Alex Tanny, the trick shot quarterback, on the roster.
Yeah.
I think he's still there. But just to finish on one last point, it's weird how, like, another sign of kind of dysfunction in the Giants is that if you look at the guys they've drafted to potentially take over for Eli Manning in the last few years, Davis Webb, second rounder out of UCLA.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He's playing for
Steelers.
The Mass Pirates.
The Jets. Yeah.
He's not the tall lad with alopecia. The bald fella.
No, that's
no.
Josh Dobbs.
Oh,
no.
That's the guy I'm thinking of.
Fuck. I was only looking at who he was playing for. But there's a guy who, like, second round pick, they just let him walk. Never really did that.
What's his name again?
Davis Webb.
Davis Webb.
Kyle Lauletta was a guy who they took out of Richmond last year that the Patriots were really high on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now he's caused a bit of trouble. But again, it looks like they've just not even giving him a shot or a fair shake at all, and now they just have, like, Daniel Jones and Eli. So it's just weird that they spend kind of high draft picks, you know, when Eli falters they don't really give these guys a fair shot. So
David Webb is on the Jets.
I knew it was like East Coast team, alright. Yeah, it's a weird thing with the Giants and the Jets there, isn't it? Because Gino,
it's his revenge game. Interesting
now, if he gets in, they'll probably pull Sam. They're not going to have Sam going in cold. Can't imagine them, Jones or Darnold, going in now after that. Almost perfect stat lines with a touchdown.
Yeah.
It'd be silly to go put him in. Yeah. I think it was Crowder got the touchdown, by the way, Kieran.
Nice.
Jamison Crowder. So, good start to his career as a Jet.
Anyone want to add anything before we sign off?
No. I'll just give my social.
You have to give them.
Well, everywhere. The same as Cover Zero. Facebook, Instagram. You guys are a little bit more active on Twitter.
Well, we just ripped the piss out of it.
Yeah.
We're the most sarcastic Twitter account ever.
I neglect the old Twitter. It's just hard to juggle all of them. But yeah, excited for people to listen to both podcasts for 2019. It's good to be back. We're a bit rusty because we did take a few months off.
When was your last podcast?
Draft recap.
That was, I think, the exact same as ours.
So that's what, May? End of April, May. Yeah, it was end of April or May it was. So it's a good while. You know, real life shit gets in the way. Just enjoying life sometimes. You haven't got time to podcast over somewhere.
Well rested, ready to go.
We're like the Le'Veon Bells of podcasting here. We're just ready to go. Like, we've held out. The bodies are looking good, feeling good. So we're just ready to go.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again.